thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
It's what I do.
Here's John Williams.
Doesn't always work out, but I promise you I'll give it my best. It's 9-11. Hi, it's John Williams in the Skyline Studio A. This is the way we open our show most days on WGN from 1 to 3, now 9 to noon. And if that feels awkward to you, you should have seen me tossing and turning in bed last night. You know how it is, Dave, when you've got a big morning the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you probably know this as well as anybody since you travel so much. But then maybe you're so used to it that the next big morning where you got to do something is nothing to you anymore.
No,
right?
No, it's still something. And this has changed your clock, right? I mean, you're now getting up earlier.
Brenda and I are listening to you guys right now, usually in our kitchen. Mm-hmm. Rather than being here right now. But here we go all the way until 12 noon on my new show. Hi, I'm John Williams. 23 years at this radio station, and it feels like the first day right now.
Rookie.
Oh, man, you are about to hear the kinds of mistakes a veteran should not make. Anyway, happy to be here. And hope that you call or text along the way, 312-981-7200. And just a little inside baseball here. This hour continues to feature all of the players and features that you heard on Steve Cochran's 9 to 10 o'clock hour. And then between 10 and noon, Elif will do, and I, the show more similar to what we used to do from 1 to 3, where we'll talk about various things. A little bit of each, maybe, in each hour. But good to have the Steve Cochran Morning Show gang still around.
And don't forget the CLTV gang.
Oh, yeah. Hello, CLTV, wherever you are.
And there was a little bit of confusion this morning, John. Steve Cochran had been saying all morning that you had interned for Paul Harvey, wasn't it? Is it Paul?
You know, well, when I graduated from Southern Illinois University of Carbondale, the year before I did, I was an intern here that summer. And Paul Harvey was still, of course, on the air. Bob Collins was doing afternoon. Wally Phillips was doing the mornings. And in a little closet manning Traffic Central for their shows sometimes was moi, among other responsibilities, as an intern at the station.
You were doing traffic?
They did not have the resources that you have now, Mary. So,
were you at the Big Map?
I was at the Big Map, or what would have been the equivalent of it. I was in a closet with about literally 10 scanners, like police, fire, streets and sand. And we would write down whatever they
what
said.
What you heard, yeah.
And then radio it up to the helicopters, and the helicopters would then report it during the traffic reports.
Right.
So that was just one of the responsibilities of an intern back in the day. By the way, speaking of traffic, so if your car is on some of the city streets between 3 a.m. and 7 a.m. or something like that now, you get towed, right?
It is 3 and 7. Right. And
I don't understand why they do that.
Well, they do it. It's called the winter tow ban, because the winter parking ban, because those are arterial streets. And if it were to snow overnight, the plows want to get to those streets and get them cleared very quickly. And so the easiest way to do it is just keep people off of them during the winter months. That way they can plow those big, wider, generally wider streets and get that done before people hit the roads to go to work.
All of that makes sense to me if it's snowing or there's snow on the ground. But there's not snow on the ground, so I feel like they should not be towing people unless there's snow on the ground.
They always do it between December 1st and April 1st.
And they even put little warning tickets on people's cars that were parked there just up to the ban. But I'm thinking, when I get to be king this week, warning tickets. Because there's no harm in the cars being there.
Yeah,
yeah, it's like $150 to
tow. It's brutal. Right. And then storage is $20 a day. And
$60 ticket.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and this is not to mention the 2 to 4 to 2 inch snow parking ban. So there's some streets that say, if the snow is more than 2 inches, don't park here.
That's, I guess, good advice. Folks are doing some shopping today. By the way, this controversy that's on all the websites and newspaper sites today, and I don't know if we're doing it in our news as well, but at Amazon.com and at a website called Wish.com, you can buy an Auschwitz bottle opener or an Auschwitz Christmas tree ornament, and the people at the Auschwitz museum, I guess it is now, said this is inappropriate. When I first heard about that, I thought, that's ghastly. I mean, good grief, people, what are you doing? But when you click through the sites, I went to wish.com to look at that today. I mean, it's a bad idea, don't get me wrong, but I don't think it's as bad as it first sounds, because when you click on that site, it's not somebody who's a Holocaust denier and they're just selling stuff. It's quite the opposite. It's books and recordings and images that you know, promote a thoughtful reflection on what happened at Auschwitz. But then whoever was cranking out the books and the CDs and the merchandise also made a Christmas ornament. And yeah, that's a bad idea. But it's not like somebody's just trading on hate there or denial. It was just, I think, a bad merchandise call. Amazon says they've taken it down, and I did not see it on the Wish site today. Speaking of shopping on Cyber Monday, Jacob Palmer joins us again on WGN Radio. He's been on my show before. He's the editorial manager for Best Reviews here on Cyber Monday. Hi, Jacob. It's John Williams. How are you?
Hey, John. Thanks for having me on again.
At least that's my take on the Auschwitz ornament. Bad idea. Take it down. And I don't know that anybody, you know, going through the gift shop at some of these places would think, oh, good, let's put it on our tree or open beer bottles with it. That's just a bad idea. But then a lot of the other things they have are things that you would expect to have there, you know, a book about Anne Frank or her father or something like that. And if that, you know, clues you in or cues you in more to what happened there, that's okay, right? My thought.
Yeah, and you got to figure, I think you were right about, you know, how it ended up being in their store as well. You know, it was probably an oversight where they weren't really thinking, and they just got, you know, a contract with somebody who was producing trinkets or whatever for them, and, you know, they didn't really look at what they were doing and think about, you know, what the subtext was behind it. And it was, you know, obviously a massive mistake, and I think Amazon did the right thing by pulling it down.
Yeah. Everything else is up, though. I'm looking at the Canon Digital SLR camera kit. Was $749, now $399 at Amazon. In general, are these deals real? That is, you need to get them today or in this window around Cyber Monday?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We track prices year-round, and basically, it's today, Black Friday, and then Prime Day in July are the days where you're really going to find deals. Most other time of the year, companies will say that things are marked down, and they'll say, hey, look, this is 20% off, and it's true. But these are the times where the deals really stand out, because those 20% off deals will be coming and going constantly. These are the deals that are really just the one-time offer. And basically, for all of our top products that we track all the time, it's across the board true that these are going to be the lowest prices you're going to see all year.
I thought I saw somewhere else, though. I noticed on your site you do have a TV. I think I saw a TV, right? But somebody else was saying, I think it was on Fox News, you really don't need to buy a TV on Cyber Monday. What are your thoughts about buying televisions today?
Televisions are a little bit different. You can look at it one of two ways. There is the fact that it will be very low priced today, but there is a market-wide reality with TVs right now where the technology has gotten so advanced and so across the board with all the different companies that they're really competing to get people to buy their stuff.
Yeah.
And it seems like they're not making that high of margins on them anymore because it's so competitive and the technology is so high-end and so just readily available that it's a little bit different where it really is a true buyer's market year-round on televisions. But with that said, I would still advise to buy today because while it's true that across the board it's going to be cheaper year-round, there are select models that are going to have markdowns that will allow you to get the top end of the market if that's what you're looking for.
I circled some of the ones on your site that I thought, oh, that's a good deal. Like I'm not in the market for a digital camera. $749 to $399, though, for the Canon SLR. That sounds pretty good. You have the Skywalker rectangular trampoline with enclosed net. Boy, I would have loved to have one of those when I was a kid. Was $549, now $349. Of course, here in the Chicago area, I don't know how many people are getting trampolines for Christmas. You won't be able to use them for half a year, but maybe folks are buying those, huh? The Amazon Fire HD 8 Kids Edition tablet. So the Amazon Fire Kids tablet, $129, now $79.99. Oh, and just one other one. The True Miracle Diamond Stud Earrings were $1,500 at Macy's, now $675. So if I go to Macy's website, I can get those earrings for half price, right? A little less than half.
That's right. And we found other great deals at Macy's for jewelry right now. And I would highly recommend if you were looking to buy maybe earrings for someone or something smaller, like a necklace, to check it out. We found just now they just put up a deal that went live that was a pair of earrings that were a few hundred bucks, and they marked them down to $60. So if you're looking for something like that, I would definitely recommend Macy's. We've seen crazy deals on jewelry there.
Sperry Men's Avenue Duck Boots at Macy's. They were $110, now $79.99. What stands out to you? Is there a category or a product that you think is really pretty sensational today?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where your eye, it's kind of like a Rorschach test. Your eye is going to be drawn to what you're interested in. And so for me, I was just looking at a deal where it's an espresso coffee maker, and we tested all kinds of coffee makers in the office, and espressos really stood out. I personally think there's no better coffee maker in terms of making a delicious mug. And for me, ever since we tested it, I went home and bought one for myself, and I've been saving a ton of money by not buying coffee on the way to work. And they just marked that one down pretty significantly on Amazon as a bundle. And so that's the one that drew my eye. But, depending on what your interests are, if you're looking, you're going to find something that's within your range of interests and also the interests of the people that you're going to be buying for this holiday season.
What was the name of that? What was the name of that espresso maker?
It was the Nespresso bundle, and it's on Amazon.
Got it. I thought it was bundled with some other items in a gift pack. That's the name of the bundle.
Oh, no, so it's a Nespresso machine, and then it comes with the capsules that you need to make the coffee as well as a milk frother.
Get back to me in a year and tell me if you've been using that milk frother. Are you a milk frother? Because I had one that frothed milk, and after a while I quit frothing the milk, I'll be honest with you.
I'm not, but my fiance absolutely loves to do it. She thinks with the oat milk specifically, when you do the frothing, it tastes just like a classic latte or something like that you would get from Starbucks.
A lot of audio stuff, speakers, headphones, Beats, things like that. Pretty good deals on those out there today, huh?
Definitely. One of the brands that I would highly recommend, and this is another one of those categories that draws my eye to it because I love speakers, the brand that I would recommend today is Sonos. They're doing $100 off across all of their products, and you can find them on Amazon or through their site. We have a few recommended on our site at bestreviews.com/gifts, and we highly recommend those. They're really cool because when you buy them, not only do they provide great sound if you add them to your TV or as a stereo for your music, but you can also keep adding speakers, and then it connects throughout your entire house,
right,
and then you can control them through your phone, and that's something that I think is awesome. And so if you can get $100 off on it, I very much recommend that.
I got to go. Give me your shortest answer to, should I go to Amazon? Is this, I mean, how? What's the best place to go to find all of these deals? You know what I mean?
Oh, the best place to go is bestreviews.com/gifts, John. You know, we curate them and we keep them going and we keep them as live and up to date as possible.
Actually, I didn't mean to put it that way, but now that I did, you're absolutely right. That's where I was finding all this stuff, and I thought it was very helpful. Bestreviews.com. All right, let's visit again soon. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks, John. Anytime.
This is WGN Radio. Good morning. It's John Williams. This is the voice that you will be hearing in this hour, as well as all the way till 12 noon now. You've probably heard we've rearranged the schedules a little bit. Cochran is not on TV or in this hour. Steve starts at 5 a.m. Did he start at 5 a.m., by the way?
Sure did.
Wow. God bless him.
Yep.
God bless you, Steve Cochran. I'm going to ask that question again tomorrow. Let's see how that goes.
But, he'll be here.
You guys sounded great. It was fun to listen and, of course, fun to come after you guys as well. 9 to 10 here and then 10 to noon as well. I guess that would be 9 to noon for those of you keeping score at home. By the way, I watched The Irishman, the movie that, you know, was on Netflix. God bless Netflix. We've got Netflix, so it didn't cost me anything. I was kind of shocked by that.
Oh, I didn't realize it was on Netflix.
3 hours and 30 minutes, ladies and gentlemen. 3 hours and every bit of 30 minutes.
You can watch Frozen 3 times, which is what I did over the weekend with
sorry
my
for your loss.
Grandbabies.
Yeah, how'd that go for you?
Oh, man. Let it go, please.
The Irishman is good. I mean, good grief. You've got, you know, Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro, and Al Pacino. Almost all, for every minute of that movie, one of them is on the screen. And for much of the movie, two or three of them are in the same scenes. A lot of people have been waiting to see Pacino and De Niro working together in a movie like this, you know, at some length, and you've got it. It's pretty amazing. Pacino, could have turned it down just a little bit for me. He plays Jimmy Hoffa, and maybe that's what Hoffa was like, and that's what you get when you get Pacino. So maybe it was the greatest performance ever. I thought it was just a little bit much, particularly since De Niro is just so subtle and so fantastic. And Pesci is amazing in this movie. 1 to 23 Jujubes, that's how we rate things in my house. I'm giving it 21.5 to 22.
Wow.
Truly fun. So Brenda and I watched it last night kind of nonstop. We had to hit pause for a couple of breaks just to, you know, take care of business.
Yeah, 3.5 hours.
But we watched it all the way through. And I said to Brenda, what did you think? She goes, that was really good. I said, was it too long? She goes, I was entertained the whole 3 hours and 30 minutes. And I started to read about how true is The Irishman. And there's a lot of debate about a lot of that. And who cares? I don't really care that much about what happens to Jimmy Hoffa anyway. I just think it's a fascinating, really fun movie. The acting is amazing. Some of the scenes are really brutal. And that's what you get from a mob movie. By the way, I was thinking about it, and now I see that I'm not the first one to have had this thought. If you don't have 3 hours and 30 minutes, you can watch it as a miniseries. In fact, it plays out like a 4 to 6 part miniseries, and that's the way I was imagining it while I was watching it. And then I saw online one film critic said, episode one hit pause at 49 minutes. You can come back to it later. You will have watched what feels like the first episode of a miniseries.
It's like A Rich Man, Poor Man.
Kind of. Mm-hmm. Or any of those Netflix series that play out over maybe 6 installments, you know. Episode two hit pause at 1 hour and 40 minutes. Episode 3 hit pause at 2 hours, 47 minutes, and 30 seconds, and then watch it to the end after that. That'll get you 3 hours and 30 minutes. I watched it 1.5 times, which is a lot, and was thoroughly entertained. By the way, the texts include these. John, Irishman was excellent. Didn't seem that long since you could pause the movie and get a cocktail. David texted in, great movie. I watched it when it was released to Netflix on Wednesday night. It was great. 630. Jimmy Hoffa was like that, bigger than life. I've never seen him played any other way. Yeah, The Irishman is 3.5 hours, and it's a miniseries. You know who I thought just killed on that thing, no pun intended, was Pesci. Pesci is thinner than you remember him. They also use that age generation stuff where they can make him look older or make him look younger, particularly younger. I mean, they used multiple cameras and this new kind of technology. It's one of the reasons the movie costs over $150 million to make, I understand, but they make these guys look younger because it runs 3 different time spans in their lives. And Pesci's amazing. I mean, he's always good. This is his wheelhouse, right? He is so good in The Irishman. In our studio is Dave Krupa. I think I'm meeting Dave for the first time in person. He has been on our show before, though. Dave, welcome to WGN. How are you?
I'm great. I'm glad to be here.
You are a student at DePaul, correct?
Yes, a sophomore.
Sophomore who ran for, what was it, city council, correct?
Right.
Just once or multiple times?
Oh, just once.
And you did that in the last election?
Yes, this past municipal election.
You're in the news again, and I've been following your story, and I've always been fascinated by it. And I'm a champion of yours, not because you seem like a nice guy, you do, but because I like what you represent. You live in whose ward?
I live in Mike Madigan's and Marty Quinn's ward.
Heard of them. Two of the most powerful, most certainly going to get reelected members of the city council, right?
Right.
Why did you do? Where are you from?
I'm from the south side of Chicago by Midway Airport.
So this is your district then, right?
Right.
And so you live around there. You're going to DePaul. Why did you decide to run for office?
Well, I just saw a lot going on in politics that I didn't like, a lot that I thought, you know, the corruption was taking a toll on not just, you know, my neighborhood, my city, but also the state.
How would it be taking a toll on your neighborhood, though? If you've got Madigan or Quinn, your roads are getting plowed. Your garbage is getting picked up, right?
Well, only if you like them and only if you agree with them. You know, Richard J. Daley once said, don't worry if they're Democrat or Republican. Give them city services, they'll become a Democrat. Mike Madigan thinks, if you don't like me, you're not getting anything. And that's the wrong way to govern.
I just don't like the amount of authority or power that some of these people in Springfield or in the Chicago City Council, maybe the county board too, but particularly those two bodies, seem to have accrued over the years. I don't know if term limits is a solution to it. I don't know how we get the corruption out of some of these people. And even when they're honest, I just don't know how we sort of remove some of the authority that some people have. So Madigan so wanted to make sure that he secured his position. You went out and got petitions, right, when you ran last time?
Right.
How many signatures did you get on your petition?
I believe I got 1,729 signatures.
How many do you need to be officially on the ballot?
473.
You need 473. You got how many?
1,729.
What did they do after you got 1,729 signatures to be on the ballot?
They went to about 2,800 people and got them to sign revocation affidavits trying to revoke their signature for my petition.
They went door to door and said, did you sign a petition for this Krupa guy? And they said, yeah. And they said, okay, would you take your name? Would you revoke your signing his ballot petition? And they said, yeah. So then they were subtracting from all of the ones that you built up along the way. You got 1,700 or so signatures.
Right.
How many people did they get to revoke their signature?
Well, they got 2,800 people to sign the document, but only about 187 of those people had actually signed my petition to begin with.
This is how they do it in Chicago. So while you have 1,700 names there, they found 2,800 people that said, yeah, I've changed my mind. In other words, 1,000 people or so are saying, at least take my name off the signature that wasn't even on there to begin with.
Right. And so what it really comes down to is, one, they were trying to fraud the system. And that's why I have a federal lawsuit out against them. And the other thing is, people really didn't know what they were signing. And if they did, they were pressured into doing it.
Right. Which is the way the Tribune and ProPublica covered the story as well. So were you running against Madigan or Quinn?
Well, I technically ran against Quinn, but Quinn is kind of like a puppet for Madigan. So, you know, in
Madigan's
effect,
people were going door to door.
Right.
I don't even know what your position on issues are. Like, tell me, if you were on the city council, what would you do?
Well, I think infrastructure is a big thing. I think we need to start tackling the property taxes as well. I mean, those are going up and up and up. And it's really because of the property tax appeal scheme that's going on. Politicians have law firms that appeal them. And, you know, it's like money laundering tax dollars. I would have taken that, you know, as an issue the first day.
Yeah. What's the latest with you then? What's going on with your campaign?
Well, I decided that I was going to run for Republican ward committeeman in the 13th ward because, you know, I noticed that Madigan controls a lot of people in both parties. And one of them happened to be the previous, or so I've been told, the previous 13th ward Republican committeeman. And I don't think that it's right that he controls the opposition as well, because then who's to hold him accountable?
Another scam that they do sometimes is they'll run people who have ethnic names to get people to maybe pull off some ethnic votes, and those can be their own people to run against them, but know that they're sham candidates. And again, every time I bring this up, all my smart friends in journalism in town go, yeah. And I'm saying, and my attitude is, yeah, but that is so wrong to me that I'll champion anybody that says I'm going to fight the system as it's being run. And if your issues are good, more power to you. But I first want to just flush some of this out of the way. And as a Republican, now, have you always been a Republican?
Well, I ran for alderman as an independent.
Yeah.
I would like to see myself as somebody who could, you know, go across the aisle and work with everybody, or I'd like to.
Would it be better to go as an independent, though? Because Republicans in Cook County, what are your chances, right?
Well, I'm really doing it as more of like a statement, a precedent. You know, it's important that, you know, so the Democratic Party, Madigan has hijacked it. It's not a real party anymore. It's Madigan's toy. And the Republican Party is his opposition, and he's silenced it. And he's done so by buying off certain politicians and making sure that the leadership doesn't criticize him.
What could anybody do who wants to help you? Because they got to live in your ward in order to vote for you. They can't do anything for you, right?
Well, they can vote for me on the March 17th primary in 2020.
If they live in your ward.
Live in my ward.
What if you don't?
If you don't, I mean, you go ahead and follow me on Facebook at David Krupa for 13th Ward Alderman. It's still that. I have to change it. But
Krupa, K-R-U-P-A.
That's right. I'm always posting things about how we can help. I'm planning, you know, press conferences. I'm passing petitions.
You need money.
Well, I could use some money, but not this very instant. But there certainly will be times.
David, any last thing you want to tell our listeners, maybe the people listening in your ward?
I think change is right around the corner. I mean, if everybody's seen the news articles, you know, people are resigning left and right. And I don't think it's very long before the machine comes crashing down. And we just got to hang in there and keep fighting the good fight.
Even if you agree with the positions that those people take, the way the game is played skews it so I'm done with it. So I'll vote for Republican, I'll vote for Democrat, I'll vote for an independent that's going to upset the system a little bit. You got a tough road to hoe, but good luck to you.
Thank you very much.
David Krupa, K-R-U-P-A. We're still following him here on WGN. At 10:08 WGN. Good morning. This is John Williams here weekdays from 9 to noon now. Hopefully you recognize my voice. You're not used to hearing it in this time. Frankly, I'm not either. 9 to noon, John Williams, Elif Garris, my producer. Good to see Steve Bertrand in the newsroom and some of the usual cast of characters I've worked with later in the day here at the station. Now I'm on from 9 to noon. I very much appreciate your listening. I know you're used to Bill and Wendy's voices here. We are too. And I hope that you let me get through some growing pains. And, Steve, you can hold my hand if I fumble a little bit, but this is what I'm doing now.
I will be here to hold your hand. No, I'm not going to hold your hand. You're not going to fumble. You'll be fine. What are you talking about?
Figuratively, anyway. By the way, did you do any online shopping yet?
Just very little, yeah. I didn't do a lot of shopping. Usually I love Black Friday and all that, just didn't quite get into it.
Doesn't it seem like Black Friday is not the thing it used to be
It's not. I mean, I think Steve Alexander just gave some numbers that it was down 6% store traffic this year from last year.
I mean, like, the hallmarks of Black Friday used to be mall fights, doors opening up, and people beating each other up to get giant TVs and shopping carts.
It came with a death toll.
It really did. There was injuries, and it was just one of those things. Remember when Black Friday was in its heyday, which wasn't that long ago, people would park their cars on I-88 heading out to the outlet mall.
Yeah, the Farnsworth. Yeah.
Because you couldn't get even onto the exit ramp from the highway. And they were running down the, hopping fences to get to the shopping mecca. Oh! We don't have those stories anymore.
It's really funny because some of the stores just don't have a lot of stuff in them anymore, and you have to order online. Like, I was looking for a particular thing yesterday at Bed Bath & Beyond, of all places, which should have everything, right?
Yeah, right.
And I couldn't find what I was looking for, so I just had to order online. So I'm sorry, John. I'm kind of busy right now.
It's so funny. She's shopping now. I was in a mall department store, and I had that same feeling. I'm walking around like, there doesn't seem to be as much. It looked emptier.
Or as much as it does any other day of the year, right?
I don't mean people. I mean
merchandise.
Racks of clothes.
Yeah, stuff.
They just didn't seem to have as much merchandise there.
I will say this about Nordstrom. I was there yesterday taking something back, and that store is dolled up. Nordstrom, at least the one on Michigan Avenue downtown, it's a winter wonderland. You could take your Insta picture there. It's just gorgeous with the red and the lights and the gold and the silver. The store's all dolled up and it really looks nice.
It's worth it to go out and just look at the stores. You know, it's kind of fun. I was out Friday. I was in a small town in Wisconsin, granted. But, you know, there were deals and people had cookies out and apple cider in a couple of the stores, which was so cute.
Rex Hupke tweeted from the Tribune yesterday, or was it today? Cyber Monday is every day with the internet. You know, I mean,
exactly.
Well, it is. The deals have already been posted, and it's just not that big of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, you can get free shipping sometimes, but you can always get free shipping, it seems, if you're on Amazon Prime.
But earlier we did have a guest on who said, while all of that is true, there really are better discounts today. There are more deeper discounts today than there are at any other time of the year. And the hours at which they expect to see the most shopping, the golden hours, they call them. And frankly, I'm not comfortable with that phrase, but that's what they call them. The golden hours on Cyber Monday are 9 p. to 1 a. In that four-hour span...
Well, then it'd be Tuesday.
Almost $3 billion will be spent. We're going to spend, what did you say, Steve? About $9.5 billion today. We're spending $11 million a minute today. So maybe this is sort of like March Madness Thursday. Productivity in the United States is probably down right now. As you're buying I'm looking at the list here. Digital cameras and trampolines and the Frisco 47-inch modern cat tree, which was $129. Now it's $89.99. Once again, the one item that I don't understand, but I think my son wants it for Christmas, is a Roomba. Don't understand the Roomba.
They're huge.
And they're expensive.
The Roomba. We have a Roomba. We got it as a gift. And Hazel is her name.
Oh, really? Did we name
my husband
Roombas?
Is named the Roomba, and she is nuts, let me tell you.
What do you mean?
Well, because she runs into everything a lot, and then, you know, she gets stuck once in a while, so you have to put pillows where she can't go underneath, so she gets stuck. And, yeah, there's a whole... And then, of course, she needs to be charged, so she'll tell you, I need to be fed now. I have to be charged. It's
sounds
like
a puppy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's like a puppy.
Well, I got an idea. Don't you have a vacuum with a handle? I mean, is it that much work? Is it that big of a hassle?
My husband loves Hazel. I can't stand her. She scares me. I freak out because I'm like, what is that noise upstairs? Oh, it's Hazel. She's working. I'm like, oh, my God.
A friend of mine has one, and she just loves it. And she has the kind that not only then drives itself into its charging station and recharges itself, but hers has something where then it cleans itself, too. It empties whatever it picked up into some debris container. So you get the feeling that this thing could work for infinity.
Oh, like, we don't have that one. Wow.
In some post-apocalyptic world where everybody's gone, the Roombas are still quietly, noisily working their way through the debris of America after some apocalypse. The Roombas would still be there cleaning up the world.
I would say, though, they do get underneath things that the vacuum cannot. Underneath beds, because she's so, you know, I'm calling her a she now. This is ridiculous.
Wow.
But I mean, you know, the Roomba is like 3 inches tall or whatever, so they can get underneath stuff. So you got dog hair underneath beds. It's great.
You know you've crossed the line, Mary, at your family when you guys wrap presents and put them under the tree for your Roomba, like a cat or a dog some people do. I mean, you've given this thing a name.
Oh,
when are you going to start to say, can the Roomba sleep with us tonight? No. The Roomba's not getting in the bed.
Oh,
please,
oh, yeah.
I love my Roomba.
Well, Steve decided to have Hazel charge next to the bed. I said, get her out of here.
Hazel.
She's got to go in the other
room. I'm not sharing this room with another woman.
That's
whispering
right.
to her
Dang
at
it.
Night. Hazel, I love you. That's not good.
No, it's not.
It's 10:14. This is WGN. Hey, Vito, you're on WGN Radio. What can we do for you? Hi.
King John, how are you? Can we get Mary back for a second?
Hey, Mary Vandeveld, you listening to WGN over there?
I'm here.
Mary, I was just wondering if Hazel made it to the Thanksgiving dinner, and are you getting Hazel a Christmas gift?
What are you getting Hazel this year? You can get your Roomba a Roomba.
I should get Hazel a Christmas gift.
You
this
really
would be hilarious. You know,
maybe a little brother.
Yeah.
How about a Swiffer?
I'm telling
that
you.
That would be good. Yeah, I got to think of something
you've
good.
You crossed the line. I don't.
Hazel.
Brenda gets Daisy, our Dizzy Dappled Dachshund, and before that, Oscar and Fred and the gang. She would buy gifts or ornaments, you know, that reflected the dog or something like that.
But that's a dog.
That's a mammal. Yeah, I'm all for mammals.
It's not a living thing.
Why don't you just get her a hair bow or a metal...
A hair bow. Yeah.
Plate bow.
So decoration. Well, she already has the Hazel insignia on, like, my... I can't even say this. It's so funny.
What?
But she's a picture of Hazel from the show, you know?
Oh,
Hazel,
yeah, right.
The
yes,
program.
Exactly.
So
that's
her picture is on, is taped
Mary?
Onto her. Yes?
Does Hazel nap with you yet?
I'm hanging up, Vito. Thank you.
I'm going to hang up on myself.
Bye now.
Yeah, thanks,
hurry,
Vito.
Hang up, Vito.
Oh, man.
This text,
I don't want her in the car, too. Thank you, Vito.
This text is just poured in. John, Mary, my friend turned her Roomba on in the morning, not aware that one of her dogs had gone to the bathroom on the floor and spread it all around the room.
I've heard of this happening. This is not good. Dave Ennett and I were talking about that this morning.
If Roombas cost $72 or $18, I don't know, I get it, but $600, $400 or $300, I'll come to your house for that amount of money and I'll vacuum myself.
Well yeah, it's a time thing too. I mean, it'll take her like a good 15 minutes to do a room where you can whip through it in like five, you know, with a regular vacuum.
John, what was the gift recommended website from about a half hour ago? If you're asking what was the website, that was called, let me look it up here again, bestreviews.com. Bestreviews.com has a lot of the deals on that we were talking about. Let's see, lots of text here. John, this is our Hazel. What, they send a picture? She gets stuck occasionally, and my wife texts me to come in and rescue her. I stuck googly eyes on her for fun. Oh, that's funny.
Oh, that's a good one.
Tell us what model Roombas you're talking about. Thank you, Cheryl from Rockford. I don't know what models we're talking about. What model do you
have? Heck if I know. I don't know which one she is. I'll look when I get home.
John, do you hate electric car windows too? I love my robotic vacuum. Yeah, I know. I sound like a guy not willing to embrace new technology. I am a little bit like that sometimes. But this is one for the price. I think that's my point. For the price, I just don't see it.
So are you a troglodyte or a Luddite?
Exactly. I'm both. We've been over this. John, that's not a Roomba. The one that unloads the garbage is a shark. It's similar to a Roomba. the picks it all up, then it empties itself out. That's called a shark, huh? John, our friends named their Roomba Ivanka. Okay, that's fine. John, Roomba vacuum. I've heard the blind people use this if they can afford the Roomba. That makes sense. I still use a of course, if you're blind, what do you care? But if you want your floors clean, I still use a real one that doesn't talk to me because everything else talks to me. It works. You know, I'm not a fan of talking to the technology that we have to talk with these days, too. It's 10:21. I mentioned that over the holiday, over the Thanksgiving break, we watched The Irishman. Every Thanksgiving, my family goes to see a movie, though. We've done it for 19 straight years. We go see a movie, and then we go to Lowry's. That's our Thanksgiving tradition. The movie that we saw this year is Knives Out. Anybody seen Knives Out?
We talked about it. Was it good?
I want to see that, yeah.
I gave it 21 jujubes on our scale of 1 to 23. 1 to 23, I gave it 21. My daughter-in-law, Nikki, and I really had a blast. The other three, not so much. One of them nodded off just a little bit. Daniel Craig, Chris Evans, Jamie Lee Curtis. When Jamie Lee Curtis comes onto the screen, the whole crowd, you can just sort of feel the affection zoom from them to the screen and back. Everybody loves Jamie Lee, and she's so good in this movie. Michael Shannon, Chicago's very own, is in this movie. Don Johnson is in this.
That's what I love.
He's having a nice little run right now. I mean, what was it, Miami Vice? Is that where we first found Don Johnson? And he's good. He's not just some washed-up TV actor getting a shot. He's really good. Toni Collette is in this. Christopher Plummer. It's a real cast. It's a quirky murder mystery. Somebody done it. What happened? And
who did it?
And here's the funny thing about it. You think the very last scene or the very end of the movie would be whodunit. They kind of tell you what happened three-fourths of the way through. And then there's another little wrinkle to the show. I don't think you'll be sorry to have spent the money you spend to go see that. Although, when we went to buy our tickets online, the theater that we were going to go to, because it was convenient, not because we wanted to go there, was one with the luxury seats and the cup holders. It was $16. I don't even think it was that. It was just a regular theater. But on Thanksgiving Day, to see that, the tickets were $16, 16 bucks each. Does that sound like a lot to you? Seemed like a lot to me.
That's insane.
How
much was popcorn?
Up
to 10 bucks.
Know. A lot. A lot. Does it matter? At that point, no. I cannot resist movie theater popcorn. And then just one other movie I'll just give you that we enjoyed watching, too, was... what was it? My Name is Dolomite, the Eddie Murphy movie. He portrays real-life legend Rudy Ray Moore, who is a comedy and kind of rap pioneer. And if you remember liking Eddie Murphy when you first saw him on Saturday Night Live or in a movie, he was funny, he was hilarious, he was kind of a good actor, right? But he was just had so much charm. That version of Eddie Murphy is what you see in Dolomite. My Name is Dolomite. At least for the first half of it. Honestly, I didn't finish the film because I was watching all these other things. But at least the first half, I thoroughly endorse. We were laughing out loud at the first half of My Name is Dolomite with Eddie Murphy. Eddie Murphy, first half, 1 to 23 jujubes. I'm giving it another 21 jujubes. Got to take a break. What's the matter, Olive? You were about to say something?
No, we have 2 minutes. And B, I went to see The Addams Family with my 12-year-old nephew, and I laughed my butt off. He was pretty quiet, but he liked it. And I laughed my butt off.
Addams Family's, is that new or has that been out for a while?
It's a cartoon version that came out like in October for Halloween. And Nick Kroll does the voice of Uncle Fester, which is so appropriate. If you're familiar with Nick Kroll's work.
Yeah,
are you?
Right. I am, in fact.
Okay. And Allison Janney's in it. She plays the antagonist in the movie. And a bunch of other A-list people are in it. Titus Burgess is in it. And There's so many names.
That's the way I felt about watching The Irishman, too, by the way. Like, you know Pesci's going to be in it, and De Niro's going to be in it, and all, you know, these marquee stars that you go see. But then every now and then, people pop up in support roles, and you go, holy cow, look at that. They're in this. They're in this. They're in this.
Yeah.
It's fun to see them show up.
It increases your expectations, and then you go, oh, no, what if it bombs? Because sometimes it does.
Yeah.
But not in this.
I'm a little suspicious sometimes. In fact, I thought the trailers for Knives Out made it look not that good. My whole family was very excited to see it. And when I saw the trailers, I thought, oh, I love all these stars. This looks like it's got great potential. It didn't look that funny to me. Be wary of somebody who describes a movie they really like as quirky. Because that doesn't mean awesome necessarily.
Can't find something. Right, exactly.
There's a lot of things quirky is, and some of them are good. But it, first and foremost, I would say quirky. I would also say funny. And you don't see some of it coming. So all good movie experiences for me over the Thanksgiving break, which seemed about a year and a half ago, but was, last Thursday? 1033 WGN Radio. This is John Williams.
Who's that handsome devil?
Oh, it's me. Steve. John Williams.
I see. Yeah, right. John Williams.
What's going on? It's Dumb and T Pongo, man. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, Dumb and T, how are you?
It's been a long time. How you been?
I've been here. It's been a great time.
Yes, man. I've been
watching you online and everything.
Dumb and T Pongo is the handsome young man who was with our radio station for how long, Dumb and T?
It was
2 years, 1 year. 10 years?
It felt like 10 years.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
It felt like, I think it was 2017 when I started.
2017. So when I started doing Saturday mornings, a couple of people worked a couple of different positions. Sam Panionovich, for instance, did sports. Now Joe Brand does. But you came into the newsroom. Todd Manley, the boss at the time, goes, there's this guy. We're bringing him in. You're going to love him. He's great. His name is Dumb and T Pongo. I said, I can't do that. What just happened? But that's his name, Dumb and T Pongo. Grew up where?
Grew up on the south side of Chicago and Calumet City, south suburbs, and I learned so much here, man. John became a friend. At first, this is something I've never told you.
He's now with MTV News, but keep going.
Now with MTV News. Steve, I didn't know if John liked me for a while. I was like, I don't know if this guy likes me.
Right.
And then
it took me 10 years, Dumb and T.
Yeah, and to discover that I don't like Steve.
Yeah, it took him to figure it out. But then, John would give me, hey, when you do the news, do it this way, slow down, this is what I like, et cetera, et cetera.
And, you know, I remember one of the times I gave you a tip like that, a tip, whatever. I just was giving you some what I thought
some
was
advice, great advice, yes.
And I know one time you go, yeah, not so much. And I thought, you know what? He's getting it because, there's a few things I knew I could share with you. But also, you need to find your own groove, your own style, your own way.
Yeah.
And so you became, it was fun to watch you evolve, if you will.
Thank you.
Under the confident guy you were. And the joke around the place was, we're just borrowing Dumb and T. He is going to be here not long. And I don't know what it is about you or why we knew that. Like, if they said, well, where's he going to go? I don't know what the answer to that was. But where you landed is, to me, like the most perfect spot for you. Because
Thank
I knew
you.
Music was in your wheelhouse. You're obviously very telegenic. And I thought, after we found out you were going to MTV to do the news over there, I thought, of course this is the perfect gig
man.
For him.
Thank you.
How did
Thank
that
you.
Happen, by the way?
So the story is insane. So I get a call around November, maybe September of 2018. Doesn't really matter. My friend says MTV is looking to cast the host of a documentary they're working on in Chicago. I'm like, okay, so what? What you calling me for? She's like, well, I recommended you. I'm like, okay, whatever. I get a call 5 minutes later. They ask about this case that they're working on. Could I host it, et cetera? So I start talking about the case. And, you know, in this business, you get calls. People talk to you. A lot of people talk about stuff. I don't know if she really works at MTV. I don't know what's going on. And then I actually freelance for them and shoot the thing. The thing was a pilot, and I don't know if the pilot's ever going to come out. This is February of 2018 that we actually begin to shoot the pilot. We shoot the pilot, it finishes, and I hear nothing for the rest of the year. Then I get a call from the director of the thing, and he says, do you have representation? I'd recommend my agent to you. Recommends the agent. A few months go by, some opportunities go by. I start having conversations with the bosses here and say, hey, I'm looking at some other freelance opportunities. Is that okay? Finally get the call on a Monday from MTV asking if I could move to New York by Thursday.
Really?
And so I have that.
But then you would miss the Saturday show with me from 9 to noon.
Is what happened, and I was heartbroken and scared that I would go to New York because they told me it would be a one-month period where I would be, they're going to have floating hosts for this digital show. And so I'd just be out there for 1 month hosting this floating new digital concept show they have on Twitter.
At MTV.com.
At MTV.com.
And it's kind of like a news panel. And you guys aren't talking about Donald Trump, are you? You're talking more about entertainment and music news?
Actually, all of it. We talk about Trump. We talk about entertainment and music news. We talk about politics, but we talk about it in a way that'll appeal to the younger generation and to the music generation. So if we talk about Trump, we'll talk about rapper ASAP Rocky in Sweden and Trump having conversations with the Swedish government about having him released. So that's our way in to get people interested in that type
of
content.
Are you talking about Taylor Swift?
Hey, John, gotta talk about Taylor Swift.
I'm sorry to interrupt you guys, but if you don't mind, I'd like to run to City Hall to Lori Lightfoot, the mayor, is talking about her investigation into Eddie Johnson.
I don't feel like it is appropriate or fair to Mr. Johnson's wife or children to do so at this time. I hope we can all take care to treat them with dignity and respect. This moment needs to be a turning point for the Chicago Police Department, the way things are done in this city. As for the department, yesterday, today, and tomorrow has to be about culture change. That must start at the top.
We'll go back to the mayor, but I just want to say that she has terminated Eddie Johnson, fired the superintendent ahead of his announced retirement, saying that he was dishonest with her and misled the public about the incident apparently when he was found in his car.
But their supervisors get a pass, even when the supervisors were aware of or directed the conduct at issue. Perhaps in years past, someone in Mr. Johnson's circumstances would have been allowed to simply retire. Doing so today, in these circumstances, would have been inconsistent with who I am and with the kind of principled leadership I want to bring to the city. None of us are perfect, and we all make mistakes. But in public life, we must be honest and accountable for our actions and must strive to do better every day. When there are ethical lapses in judgment, particularly in a position of trust like the superintendent of police, then it is incumbent upon me and all of us to ensure accountability. That's why I decided to take this clear and decisive action today. The old Chicago way must give way to the new reality. Ethical leadership, integrity, accountability, legitimacy, and yes, honesty must be the hallmarks of city government. There must be no mistake about the message I am sending today. The 13,400 sworn and the civilian members of the Chicago Police Department who work hard every day deserve a leader they can believe in. And to achieve the reform and accountability that in the department that we know is urgently needed, we require a leader whose actions reflect the virtues of integrity, honor, and legitimacy, the touchstones of what it takes to have the privilege of being a Chicago police officer. I am confident that the interim Superintendent Beck is such a leader and that both he and the eventual permanent superintendent will serve with honor. At this time, I will take your questions.
Mayor, what is it that you learned that you didn't order? You knew he was drinking, you knew he didn't say so. So why did you participate in the celebration?
Obviously, the facts that I know now are fundamentally different than the facts that I knew then. I'm not going to get into the specifics of that, as I said
but
in my statement.
It's so shocking that you would act so a month early. What is the reason?
The reason is for the reason that I said, that his conduct on the night, that night, his effort to mislead the public, and his effort to mislead me. I've reviewed the Inspector General's report and videotape evidence and makes it clear that the only choice that I had to take was to take the one that I've taken. There's no gray area here.
What did you see on the video?
I saw things that were inconsistent with what Mr. Johnson had told me personally and what he revealed to members of the public.
Did you abuse his police powers at night when the police officers came to him in the car?
I'm not going to get into the specifics about what happened.
Can you say exactly how he lied to you?
Well, a lie is a lie. He told me something that happened that night that turned out to be fundamentally different than what he had portrayed to me and what he portrayed to members of the public. Let me go back here to Marion. Yes, I met with him this morning and relieved him of his responsibilities as police superintendent.
Mayor, is it fair?
Accepting.
Is it fair to say he's lying but not give the details about how he's lying?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it's important for me to make sure that I don't do anything to influence or taint the ongoing investigation of the Inspector General. And there are certain things that maybe they will become public later, but I think out of deference to his wife and his children, it's not my narrative to tell. It's not my story to tell.
Is Mayor Lightfoot announcing today that she has fired Superintendent Eddie Johnson, the Chicago Police Department superintendent who had announced his retirement just a month ago, and the mayor standing alongside him at that time. She knew at the time that Johnson had been found asleep or slumped over the steering wheel of his car and allowed to drive home, but saying now that she has learned more about that incident and that the superintendent lied to her, and that is not the Chicago she intends to lead. And so she met with him today, fired him, and she said he was had a mood of acceptance in that.
What was the lie? Well, what did Eddie tell her that she now knows not to be true? Because he didn't take a breathalyzer test. He didn't do a field sobriety test. The cops let him go home.
I think he said at the time that he'd had a couple drinks with dinner.
He did.
Maybe there was something more to it than that. She said twice in just the few minutes that we listened that out of deference to his wife and children, she wasn't going to go into details. You can read into that whatever you want.
Okay.
And then Fran Spielman there from the Sun-Times was trying to get her to say, well, what is it that you know now that you didn't know when you were lauding him at his retirement, and she just wouldn't get into the details there.
Or for that matter, what's the rush? I mean, you've got this interim guy kind of running the show.
Well, the rush is the Inspector General report is probably coming out or is nearing conclusion, and so you would have to act on that.
She's out getting ahead of something.
Right, exactly.
Another shoe is about to drop.
I know. I'm going to ask you guys questions.
See,
I know you don't know.
Matisse picked up on that stuff now.
We need to pause. It's 10:43. We'll now change the narrative. Domati Pongo, our friend from WGN Radio News, now at MTV.com. He does a news panel, a news show there.
Yeah.
He is in Chicago before he heads back to NYC. Let's pick it up here in a minute on WGN. It's 10:46. This is John Williams at a new time now. Weekdays from 9 to noon. 9 to noon. Here on WGN Radio. We invited a colleague of ours back to the studio to say hi and catch up. Domati Pongo, WGN Radio news guy, now off to New York at MTV.com. He does a news show there. And as we were catching up, I was thought we'd be talking about you telling stories about talking to famous people because you're on the red carpet and you have all of these amazing stories. But Domati, just humor me for a minute here. I want to catch up with Steve Bertrand in the newsroom as well. Lori Lightfoot has just announced that while Eddie Johnson's retirement is imminent and interim director's been posted, she now says because of the upcoming Inspector General's report, she's going to fire him immediately.
Fired for cause, she said, for lying to her and misleading the public about this incident in October. I think I said last month, but it was in October when he was found asleep in his parked car near his home about 12:30 in the morning. At the time, he was allowed to drive home by the officers. They did not check him for impairment. He said that he had had a change in his medication and had stopped taking an old medication and not started taking the new medicine at the time. And he said he was just overly fatigued.
He has legitimate health issues. He's passed out before. He is a kidney recipient, a transplant from his son.
He later told the mayor that he did have a couple of drinks at dinner that night. That was not immediately disclosed.
But said he wasn't drunk.
And that's kind of where it was left. And then, then he announced his retirement last month. And, the mayor was there for the announcement and to praise him. And not only that, John, I don't know if you remember, but we brought this up on the Mincing Rascals. The mayor, during the question part of the news conference, said, look, the superintendent's young boy is here. Let's show the family respect when we are asking questions. And the assumption at that point was that they didn't want the boy to be there while reporters were asking the superintendent if he was drinking on the job. That was my assumption. Maybe there was something more to it. Now, today, Lightfoot twice said that out of respect for the family, she wasn't going to go into some of the details that she's learned.
And it should be noted, I've been following this from afar. I saw interviews with Lori Lightfoot with local reporters being very forgiving and amenable toward Eddie Johnson.
Absolutely.
She was.
The whole town has been.
Yes. She said, he spoke to me. I take him at his word for what he said happened that night. I believe him. And, I remember reporters really pressing her on that. And today is the first time I've heard her speak somewhat ill.
And she spoke, you know, she spoke of their friendship on the day he retired.
Well, is she speaking ill or is she speaking?
She's
angry.
Speaking directly.
Directly. Yes. That's a better
word. She's speaking directly.
Okay, but so she's ticked that he lied to her. But why is she so elusive about what the lie was? If you're going to call a press conference, the guy's out the door in a month anyway. He's not drinking and driving under the auspices of the Chicago Police Department these days. What's
that? Will probably be in the Inspector General's report, John. And all she's saying is, I've seen the report. There's evidence here that he lied to us, and so I'm firing him.
And as far as scandals go, you know, when this other shoe drops, there's going to be a big aha moment that we'll all have, because this. The driving situation, while not, you know, appropriate for the leader of a police force, is not the worst thing that we've seen, all right? And so whatever happened, whatever is in that Inspector General's report, had to be serious for Lightfoot to let him go.
Oh, I'm assuming that what she's discovered is evidence that, in fact, maybe it's video of him drinking too much at the bar or restaurant, more than a couple or a few drinks. I'm assuming that the reason that he's lost his job today is because he lied to her about his drinking, that he was drunk, that he had way too much to drink. Now, maybe there's something else, Domati. Maybe there's another shoe that's going to drop here. You don't have a read on that, do you, Steve?
No, I'm not going to make any assumptions there, but I mean, that certainly is.
But how can we not?
No, I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying that certainly seems to be the logical case here, yes.
Yeah, he's in the news chair. Now I'm in editorial land, so I can.
You get to speak freely.
Yeah, I get to speak freely and speculate a little more. I think something nefarious happened, and she found out about it and wants to be known to have done the right thing before the public knows.
Our number is 312-981-7200. You can call or text. Jim, you're on WGN. What can we do for you, Jim?
Yeah, I was wondering if anybody, that press conference, it was hard to hear some things. Do you know if anybody asked her if his pension will be affected? Will he lose his pension?
Let's go to the newsroom. This is Steve Bertrand's favorite question.
I didn't hear that come up, but I know that is a cause of great concern for a lot of people. When someone public gets in trouble.
It's always the first question we get. Steve always rolls his eyes. He always sees that as kind of tangential to what's really going on here, but
Steve is on those pitches.
It's so appropriate. It was the first thing to come in today.
But I'm sorry. I mean, maybe I'll discover things that'll make me change my tone, and I'll change my tone if I have to. But I have affection in my heart for Eddie Johnson.
Yeah.
And I'm not anxious for him, like, say, some jailed governors. I'm not anxious for him to lose his pension.
That's right.
I think it depends on the thing that you did that got you fired. Did it get you fired while you were doing your job? Was it, like, sometimes people will lose their pensions if they've been stealing, and they will lose their pensions relative to the amount of time they were stealing from, say, the state coffers. So if you're in office for 20 years and for 5 years you were stealing, then you use 5 years worth of seniority or pension. I don't know how the math works out on this.
Well, I think generally these pension questions, although they come up every day.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
Have to do with people who are convicted of crimes, too.
Now, forgive me, I am going to go into editorial land once again. This is a bit of apples and oranges, but is John Burge still receiving his pension?
John Burge,
I don't believe he was, Doma TV. Well, I don't know if he was ever convicted of a crime.
Convicted. But I know the larger point I'm making is that I've seen officers do, in my mind, what I believe to have been far worse and have not been reprimanded so directly,
okay,
so quickly.
And having said all the nice things I've said about Eddie Johnson, if they have evidence that you are drinking on the job,
that is very
bad. Then I think. And I don't know when the shift for the police chief starts, like the police superintendent. Are you always on the job? Or if it's a Saturday night or a weeknight, if it's 10 o'clock at night and you're having too much to eat and having too much to drink, you shouldn't drive. That's the crime. I don't think getting drunk as a police superintendent is a crime unto itself.
Burge, by the way, died a year ago. But it is if you're driving, John.
Oh, sure. All right. But then it's a DUI offense, and maybe that costs you your job.
But what the mayor, remember the mayor's words, he lied to me and he misled the public.
Well, we're going to find out. Are we going to find out today? We'll have access to the Inspector General report.
I don't know if it'll be today. I don't know when it's coming out.
But we should have access to the reason Eddie Johnson's getting fired, right?
It'll be a public report, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And was there a, excuse me, I've been far removed from the news for a minute, so forgive me if my facts are muddled, but okay. Wasn't there a question of whether or not the police followed the proper protocol in reporting whether or not Johnson had in fact been pulled over, et cetera? So is there a corruption element to this?
She said she was not going to get into that today.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, but I mean, that's
so that's a piece of it.
That's another thing that absolutely happened. I mean, if just imagine that Eddie Johnson is asleep or passed out at the wheel of a car.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how the car isn't still going. Did he put it in park or is his foot on the brake? But he's driving his car. It's at a stop sign. My feeling is it's at the stop sign. When I talked to Eric Zorn from the Tribune about it, he sort of thought that it had pulled off to the side of the road. But he is in the car by himself. He's driving. He's now asleep at the wheel or passed out at the wheel. So for some reason, the car's not going forward. Two cops come upon this scene.
Mm-hmm.
And they recognize Eddie Johnson. Oh, man, it's Eddie Johnson. What am I going to do? You wake him up. You rouse him. He says, oh, thanks, guys. I had a reaction to medicine, or I'm not on the right meds right now. Okay, chief, you all right? Yeah, I'm okay. And then they let him drive home. They shouldn't do that.
Right.
They need to take him out and make him touch his nose and walk a line.
Yeah.
But I wonder how often that happens.
Very often.
No, very often. Oh, that they let him go.
That officers look out for one another when it's a minor thing like that.
I agree.
And I have police officers in my family. Like, even my brother-in-law said, I shouldn't say this on the air, but he's like, if you get pulled over and it's a state trooper, you know, let him know that. Say my name and see if they'll be nice to you or not. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. And that's how things happen.
Well, what's his name? Can the rest of us use it too?
Yeah, right, exactly. I'll tell you off air. I got you.
But that's a good point. If you work for the county attorney office, you show them your county attorney badge, and the cops will often will not give you a speeding ticket. There's courtesies they show each other all
courtesy,
the time.
Absolutely. And I think they should have the liberty to show some courtesy, depending on the offense. I'm sorry. I just believe.
Really?
I really do.
So if I'm speeding and I'm a cop, and if you don't know that, you pull me over and I go, hey, thanks, here's my ID. Oh, look, it happens to also show I'm a cop. They let each other go all the time. You have no problem with that. It's okay to say yes,
Domitique. Yeah, I'm not saying it should happen often, but I think it would be naive to say that that's not something you would expect.
773 texted in and said, if you are fired from CPD, if you are fired, you do not get your pension. Says one of our texters, anyway. LF said we got to take a break. Domitique, I don't know if you can hang around for the next half hour or so.
I don't know if I qualify as an expert on this, but I'd love to stay around.
I won't put you on for that reason. I did want to catch up and hear some of your swell stories. Yeah. We're out of time for this hour. If we don't catch up in the next hour, how do people follow or find you?
Yes, follow me at Domitique, Dometi _ on Twitter and on Instagram TV. You'll see my news stories. The show airs on IGTV, that's Instagram TV at MTV News, and on their Twitter page. And you'll see all my VMA red carpet interviews, my MTV Movie and TV Award interviews. And I've got a show coming out at the top of 2020 that I think the city will really love. So, yeah, you guys can check that out and just stay tuned.
Nice to see you. Happy for your success.
Thank you so much. It's good to see. This is my 1 year anniversary, by the way.
Of leaving us and going there.
Yes.
Well, then to heck with you.
Thank you for celebrating with me, John.
Good morning. You have heard me in the recent past from 1 to 3 weekdays here on WGN Radio, Saturday mornings 2. They've rejiggered the schedule here. I'm now on from 9 in the morning until 12 noon. We miss Bill and Wendy, too. I hope you enjoy this show. If you listen to us from 1 to 3, welcome to my 9 to noon show. And if you didn't hear me from 1 to 3, this is what I sound like. I'll be here weekdays from 9 to noon, and then on Saturdays, I think from 1 to 3. Although I saw in print it was 1 to 4, but I think 1 to 3. Anyway, I'm still on Saturdays.
I was wondering about that when I saw that.
Yeah, some people said to me, no, it's in the paper, John, 1 to 4. I says, okay, I heard 1 to 3, and then they told me 1 to 4. But they said, but maybe not 1 to 4. So I'm not going to worry about that right now.
Just going to leave work a little early and see if anyone notices.
There have been times lately where I was making calls going, am I on tomorrow? Because Northwestern football's got a game on Saturday, so I don't have to come in, right? Which is a funny way to run a radio station if you're a host. That other voice you're listening to. Give me just a few more minutes. Domitique Pongo is in our studio. You heard him on my Saturday show. And a year ago, he left WGN Radio to go work for MTV. He does a news program there, a sort of panel discussion news broadcast, which you said covers hard news, but also pop culture and music news, entertainment news.
Yes.
And when you are talking, say, politics or whatever else the hard news of the world is, you're looking at it maybe through a different lens than we are here at the radio station, the way you used to cover in our newsroom.
Yeah, through a pop culture lens. Our way in is talking about things that the kids, as they say, care about, you know, yeah. Music and pop culture and fashion as it relates to hard news and politics sometimes.
I want to take a call because this person's been holding Domati, and then I want to catch up with what you're doing. But sure. Julie wanted to call in. As you just heard, perhaps WGN Radio News, Steve Bertrand was talking about Lori Lightfoot firing Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson, whose retirement was imminent, but she said evidently that he told her something that was not true about that night that he was found slumped over the wheel of his car, and she won't tolerate lying from the superintendent, and so he has been fired.
Remember, she was elected, and Johnson even brought in on this idea of police accountability. After the Laquan McDonald case and all of that. And so that makes this an even more egregious offense if what she's saying is true.
I wonder what his legacy is going to be, because it seemed to me like some of his benchmarks came up when Donald Trump was in town speaking to the police superintendent's convention in town. And Eddie Johnson or others were reminding us that crime and violent crime in Chicago, while he's been superintendent, has gone down. And when Jussie Smollett's case blew up and just went a million directions and was very bizarre, I think a lot of us embraced the superintendent even more, because I thought he sort of stood up for Chicago and said, we're not going to tolerate this crap, and was very angry about the way that thing went down. Not much he could do about it. Maybe he should have been more involved. I'm not exactly sure what his role would have been, but a lot of us liked the way he talked about our city at that time. Julie wanted to say something. You're on WGN. Julie, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi, John. Hi, Domati. Hi, Steve. I'm a retired police officer, and there's a rule in the rules and violations that says you cannot be intoxicated on or off duty. And that's not to say someone's going to come knocking at your door at 9 o'clock on a Saturday night. But if you're involved in, say, a police take police action and you've been drinking, that can really be a problem.
Well, I'm sorry, if you're at a party and you get drunk, but you're not driving, you can be drunk at some point in your life if you're a cop, right?
Well, sure. It's more to cover the bases if you've taken police action and you're intoxicated.
Okay.
No one's going to go looking to see if you happen to have been drinking.
Okay, but say, all right, so say I'm at a party or something and I'm drinking and I'm drunk and I see something go down. I should not act as a police officer now because even though I'm off clock, if I'm doing police business, I'm springing to action. If I'm intoxicated, I'm violating the police rules, right?
Well, technically, yes.
Okay, but I don't know how that applies to Eddie Johnson. He's just driving home from dinner.
True, but then if he was intoxicated and he's driving.
Yeah, okay, but so I think another question is, I wonder if the lie is what gets him, right? Like,
right.
You shouldn't have been driving drunk, Eddie Johnson. He fell asleep at the wheel, if that's the case. I'll bet that's not what gets him fired. It's him telling Lori Lightfoot, I had just had a couple of beers, I was fine.
And it was my medication for my illness.
And so what does she now know that proves otherwise? Because he didn't take a field sobriety test. Hmm. We're just going down a path of speculation here, but this is where the mayor's left us hanging.
I feel so badly, too, because he seemed like such a good guy. Yeah. And he is a good guy.
Thank you for saying that. Julie, thanks for the call.
Thank you. Bye.
You're doing an investigative series over at MTV, aren't you?
Yeah, it comes out in 2020. And the series looks at mysterious crimes that have happened that have gone viral online. So think about the cases over the past few years that have gone crazy on the internet, that had everybody talking about them online. So I dig in and figure out what really happened. I separate the conjecture online from what really happens, and the viewer follows me as I look through all these cases.
So what we're talking about now with Eddie Johnson and Lori Lightfoot would not be the case, because we'll find out here.
Yes.
And this isn't a viral thing. This is a Chicago news story. But a lot of things are crimes that we've heard about that do go viral.
Yeah.
And then we don't follow up on. We never hear what happened. This is where you're digging.
This is where I'm digging. And this is the crazy thing that happens. Sometimes, you know, these crimes go viral and you know how news works. Things happen and it's like, hey, whatever happened to that thing? And you know, maybe the crime is solved as far as the police are concerned, but the public still has YouTube channels and people are saying all types of crazy theories. Well, I dig into it, especially in an age where, you know, people in my generation who aren't in the news business don't follow news as closely as they maybe should.
So. I won't say what the first installment is about, but I've seen some of it online. You shared it with me. It looks terrific. It's Thank a compelling you. Story. It resonates greatly here in Chicago. It's not Jussie Smollett. I don't know if I can say that, but it's not. It's something else that, now that you mention it, I don't know how that shook out. You found out. Doma T. Pongo. And that's going to be after the first of the year?
That's going to be after the first of the year. That's in 2020. And yes, please, guys, just stay in tune with me at Doma T underscore D-O-M-E-T-I underscore. And my website is myfirstname.net. And yeah, and when these things come out, I think Chicago's really going to be glued into this story specifically. The first episode is actually how I ended up at MTV in a roundabout way.
Well, I like it. And you're cold open to that first installment. You mentioned you were doing news on WGN in Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't mention me or Lou Manfredini, but listen, that's fine. Doma T, you're done, man. Good luck to you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me, John. Steve, John, love you guys. Mary, good to see you. Dave Innitt, how's it going? Thank you guys for having me, and it's always good catching up with you, John.
312-981-7200 is the telephone number. This is more than just about a Chicago police officer or superintendent. I think this resonates in a lot of ways, including your police force, wherever you are listening, if you're not in Chicago. John, the Superintendent Johnson was fired. Does he lose his pension? Lots of texts like that, Steve. Some of you are saying yes. I don't know the full answer to that. John, you know she's covering, this is about Mayor Lori Lightfoot firing him now, even though he was about to leave his job anyway. You know she's covering her own for some reason. Nice to hear Doma T. Pongo on the radio again. John, what's going to happen to officers who apparently helped him cover up, says John in Schaumburg? I don't know. I don't know. I think that's a separate question. It's not the main question, but I get it. And I don't know what's going to happen to those cops. Probably not much. In fact, a couple of you have said things like this. John, have you ever gotten anything because you are a radio personality? It's called the professional courtesy. This is from a police officer, evidently. I have given hundreds of citizens a break on minor traffic violations. So if a cop gives a break to a cop or to somebody at the state's attorney's office, that's no big deal. That sort of thing happens all the time. And you don't have to be connected to get that sort of courtesy. John, my daughter is a Chicago Police Department officer. General consensus is that Eddie Johnson had checked out in his morale long ago, whether by intention or motivation, and that this firing comes as a structured move to get out. It was anticipated. That's why an interim superintendent was brought in. I'm trying to remember what the timeline on that was. When he announced his retirement, was he asked if this had anything to do with him being pulled over, and I don't remember what his answer was. Do you, Steve?
No, it came right after Donald Trump called him out in that police chief's meeting here. Remember that?
Yeah, sure. And Trump said, where's Eddie Johnson? Where's Eddie Johnson? And Eddie Johnson wasn't there. Eddie Johnson was actually outside, and there's a lot of police that were guarding Trump Tower, were guarding McCormick Place where he was speaking. I think Eddie Johnson was with the force that day. John, I'm confused. How can he be retired and then fired? Isn't he gone already? Technically, he's not gone already. He is now. He got fired, but he was easing his way out. He was still on the payroll, as I understand it. Johnson had to have known this would be investigated and it would come out. The thing is, we don't know what the it is. Phil, you're on WGN. What's your question? You're on the air.
Oh, John.
Hi, Phil. What's up?
I just think that firing Eddie Johnson did no good. The man took a job he didn't want, trying to save a city that didn't want to be saved. He's working for a corrupt government. He knew he did wrong. Anybody would crumble the pressure in the position he was. He retired. They should have just let him go away instead of dragging the poor man through the mud now.
Thank you for the call, Phil. I'm going from you to Scott. You're on WGN. Scott, you're on the air. What do you want to say?
Yeah, somebody just made a statement about what's going to happen to the officer with the cover-up. I'm not too sure there's a cover-up yet, and perhaps the officer in question was the person who told the truth. So I think it's not right to speculate that an officer is involved with a, quote, cover-up. He might be the source of the honesty.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think both things may be true, because what I heard them saying, Scott, was, yeah, maybe some officers telling more than we know. But,
right,
but,
right.
But that's the officer then that didn't make him take a field sobriety test. And if that was you or me asleep, after midnight at the wheel of a car, I'll bet, and we've admitted to having a couple of beers, you and I are getting mm-hmm. a field sobriety test. And Eddie Johnson.
I agree with that, too. But perhaps that officer, after the fact, said, you know what I did was wrong. Perhaps the officer stated, you know what I did was wrong. Hence the firing of Eddie Johnson, because the officer spoke the truth. I agree with you 100%. You're slumped over. That's it. Another thing I don't agree with, let's say he's in slumped over, and this is your boss of all bosses. That officer, hey, I'm driving you home. Otherwise, we're taking this down to the station. You know,
yeah,
that's not covering up for Eddie Johnson. If you're slumped over, you know what? Look, I'm taking you home for the public safety reason. But all I'm saying is there's no cover up yet, and the officer perhaps told the truth about what he did, and you know.
Yeah, I get you, Scott. Thanks for the phone call. Well put.
Yes, sir.
Have a good day. That would have been, in retrospect, right? That would have been probably the smartest thing for the police officers to do. I mean, extend him the courtesy of driving him home. That makes sure he gets home safely. Nobody else gets injured. It's still a professional courtesy that the rest of us don't get. I don't know how agitated you are that cops sometimes get breaks that the rest of us don't. John, I have relatives that are teachers. They've all gotten off Facebook. I suppose police officers have done the same thing. Not exactly sure what that has to do with this, but John, one incident may get him fired. It does not take away from an entire career. And 773, should Eddie Johnson be drinking after a transplant? That's bad enough, and driving makes it worse. Well, the second part of that is what might get you in trouble. I don't think you get fired, though. I do not think if all it was, and this might not be a small thing, but if Eddie Johnson is pulled over for DUI, think about that. He's not slumped over at the wheel, but he was maybe, it looked like he's either texting or he's drunk. Turns out they pull him over and he blows .09, say. Should he lose his job then? Does he lose his job for that? I mean, I know you want them to be exemplars. You want them to be above the fray, but I don't think I fire Eddie Johnson for that. I may take a mulligan on that opinion, but right now I'm just going, you shouldn't do that, dude. But people do. Should a DUI cost you your career, your job? I don't think so. You shouldn't do it. I don't know that should cost you your job. 1126-312-981-7200 is our telephone number on WGN. 708, hey, John, you are unbelievable. You defend this drunken liar. He calls out to the president for lying. He's a bigger liar himself. 815 says, if you're a regular cop, wouldn't you be afraid to find yourself standing there looking at Eddie Johnson in that situation? That is a moment I suppose no police officer wants. 773, Chicago police can lose their pensions only if convicted of crimes committed while in the line of duty. And 773, I agree, just let him retire in peace. PGS Golden Coin is Chicagoland's most trusted coin dealer and precious metals specialist. 35 years of experience. They are your premier buyer, seller, and appraiser when it comes to U.S. and world coins, gold, silver, and platinum jewelry, old currency, diamonds, precious metals, collectibles. You're doing some spring cleaning? Are you moving? Did you inherit some valuables? PGS, is it PGS? That's what it says here. I don't know if that's PG's. PGS Gold and Coin can appraise your collection. Grandpa's old coin collection, grandma's old jewelry could be worth thousands. With three offices in Palatine, Schaumburg, and Wheaton, PGS Gold and Coin provides an upscale, clean, comfortable, safe environment for you to sell your valuables. Family-owned with a friendly and knowledgeable staff, PG's Gold and Coin is a certified coin dealer with hundreds of five-star reviews and an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau. You can't make make it to one of their stores, just call for an in-home appointment. 888-416-2701. Go to pgsgoldandcoin.com. pgsgoldandcoin.com. Or call 888-416-2701. Say you heard it on WGN Radio. They will give you a free evaluation. Lots of texts about this. Oh, by the way, you know how on Mondays, on our 1 to 3 shift, Steve, we did the Mega Monday quiz?
Yes.
It's now the Mega Monday morning quiz.
So it's coming up?
After the news. This time with a Christmas in Chicago theme. For instance, in Christmas Vacation, what was the hat that Clark was wearing for much of the movie?
Well, I'm going to have to say it was a Bears hat.
So hold your answer for when we do the quiz. And then if you call in, you need to answer 10 Chicago Christmas questions. Steve Bertrand will be a lifeline, and you might use him if you're not sure about that one. Mary Vandeveld in traffic, are you going to be one of the lifelines for our Monday morning quiz?
I think it'll have to be Lauren. She's up right after me.
Okay, you do traffic. Steve will do the news. That's all coming up. Thank you, Steve Bertrand. It's 11:33 on WGN. By the way, this texter said about The Irishman, I was talking about watching it 1.5 times, which is more than most Americans. Because one play on that movie is 3 hours and 30 minutes. I watched it about halfway through. It was funny. And then we watched it again all the way through, right? About halfway through, Brenda gets up to, I don't know, refresh her tea or do whatever it was she was going to get up and do. She hits pause, and the time bar says 1 hour and 41 minutes. And then it shows you how much you have left. It said 1 hour and 42 minutes. Or maybe it was 1:42 and 1:43, but we just randomly stopped it exactly in the middle. And it was kind of exciting, but also a little, it's like, okay, here we go. We have been sitting here for 1 hour and 45 minutes. We have another 1 hour 45 to go to watch this thing.
And you liked it.
I did, but this texter said, we saw it in the theater, and I was checking my watch during the third hour. It was good, but not riveting for 3+, in my opinion, says 773.
I've heard really mixed things about it.
Oh, really? Because of the time, or just overall it's not that good?
That people thought, you know, they had 70-year-old men playing 30-year-old guys or something like that.
Well, they use that fancy technology now where they de-age them.
Right.
And I know, actually, I thought they could have done a better job with that if they were really going to show them in their, I don't know, what, 40s or something.
But you liked it.
I thought it was really, I like Untouchables, I like Godfather, I like those kind of gangster movies. I don't follow them real closely, but whenever they're on, I think, wow, that's a great movie.
I also get a sense it's just, oh, it's that same group of guys making another mob movie, you know?
It's not that often, though, that you see that trio on the screen the whole time. I mean, every scene is either Joe Pesci, Robert De Niro, or Al Pacino, and sometimes interacting together. Get back to me after you've watched some of it. Just watch 1 hour or 2. Let me know what you thought.
Right, okay.
Literally, I mentioned this earlier, but it's true. If you don't want to watch the whole thing, if you watch like the first 40 minutes, that would be like the first installment of a new series. And then if you watch the next 45 minutes, somebody broke it down. They even gave you the time stops for here's how to watch it as a series if you don't want to watch it all at once. And that's essentially what I did. I watched it for about 1 hour. And then I watched it for about 40 minutes. I was halfway through. And then Brenda said she wanted to watch it, so then we started all over again. It is the sort of movie you can walk away from for a while because it is just so dang long. We've been talking about Eddie Johnson being dismissed, and we'll continue to follow that news. It'll be interesting to see what the Inspector General's report says about all of this. So on my Monday show when I was on from 1 to 3, now John Williams here. Hi, how are you? Weekdays from 9 a.m. until 12 noon. We did something called the Mega Monday Quiz. It's now the Mega Monday Morning Quiz.
Come back to Chicago.
To Chicago.
Chicago.
Drove to Chicago.
In Chicago.
Chicago.
Shy City.
Coming home again.
And as you may have noticed, it has a Chicago theme. Our Mega Monday morning quiz will always have a Chicago theme. This time it's about Christmas in Chicagoland. Lou said he wants to play. Lou, you're on WGN Radio. How are you?
Good morning, Mr. Williams.
Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for calling in. You know how this works. I'll ask you a question. You've got one of two choices in your answers, and if you want to, you can reach out to Lauren Lapka. You're going to be a lifeline, and Steve Bertrand can be a lifeline,
sure,
too. He was born on Christmas Day. He is A, Sox manager Rick Renteria, or B, Cubs manager David Ross.
Rick Renteria.
Is correct. Number two, this is Chicago's Christmas song, really, because Chicago's Mel Torme wrote it, and Chicagoan Nat King Cole made it famous. Is it Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, the Christmas song, or Grandma Got Run Over by a Reindeer?
The Christmas song.
Well played, sir. Number three, Christmas movie set in Chicago, 671 Lincoln Avenue in Winnetka, is Kevin McAllister's home in this movie set at Christmas time. What's the name of the movie?
Home Alone.
You're three for three. Number four, Christmas movie set in Chicago. What was the hat Clark Griswold wore throughout Christmas Vacation? Was it a Blackhawks hat or a Bears hat?
It was a Bears hat, and I knew it before Steve Bertrand said anything.
Yeah. How about this one? Who is the star of this Christmas rom-com playing the part of Lucy, the CTA ticket taker? She saves Peter, the handsome man, from an oncoming L train on Christmas Day. Who is the star of this Christmas rom-com? Was it Demi Moore or Sandra Bullock?
I'm going to say Sandra Bullock.
Sandra Bullock is correct. Did I mention the name of that? I don't think I did. I edited it out of the question when I first did it. And now, oh no, the name of the movie is escaping me. While You Were Sleeping. While You Were Sleeping. In 1939, the Montgomery Ward Department Store in Chicago assigned copywriter Robert May to compose a Christmas poem. You actually know it as a Christmas song now, that could be distributed to customers nationwide. So this famous Christmas song was actually first invented at Montgomery Ward's in Chicago in 1939. Was the poem Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
Yes.
Or something else. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is correct. Did you know that story, by the way?
I did.
Lou, I did not.
You have like savants call for this segment.
The last lady got 10 in a row before I was even done asking the questions. And this guy's 7
for 6. I actually used to shop at Montgomery Ward's, and every Christmas, the whole place was full of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Really? So they kept it in? I don't remember any of that. Wow.
Yeah.
Chicago's official Christmas tree, is at Daly Plaza or Millennium Park?
Now it's at Millennium Park.
You're 7 for 7. 25 years running, there are 2.5 million Christmas lights illuminating this free display in the city. 2.5 million lights illuminating A, the zoo lights at Lincoln Park at the zoo, or the Walnut Room at Macy's.
Oh, I think that's the zoo lights.
That is correct. We were there the night it opened up. Oh, God, is that gorgeous. Is that fun?
Yes, I've been there. It's very nice.
Yeah, they do a nice job. How about this? The National Weather Service does not consider it a white Christmas here in Chicago unless we have 1 inch of snow on the ground that day. What are the odds, historically, of us having 1 inch of snow, a white Christmas, on Christmas Day? Is it a 38% chance or a 55% chance that our Christmas will be white?
I'm going to go with 38.
38 is correct. And now, 10 for 10, all of the marbles. You ready?
Yes, sir.
You get this right, you get a mega home improvement hoodie. For 35 years, this Christmas theater has hosted sing-alongs and the showing of the classics White Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life on the big screen. What's the theater that has the Christmas movies and the sing-alongs? They've been doing it for 35 years this year. White Christmas and It's a Wonderful Life.
I'm going to need some help on this one.
Wow, look at that. I'm going to say Music Box.
Steve Bertrand says it's the Music Box Theater.
I'm going to say Music Box.
go with Steve, because I really don't know.
The correct answer is the music box.
No, you go with Steve because you think he might be right, not because...
Steve sure did seem to have a good feeling for that one. The music box theater. Yeah. Hey, this guy knows his Chicago. Let's give it up for Lou in Lockport. Nicely done, Lou. Let me throw a Lou Malnati's pizza in your gift bag as well. How's that sound?
That sounds awesome.
Now, you know the rules. If you get all 10 right, you return as the reigning champion. If you get 9 out of 10 right, you don't. You are 10 for 10, sir.
Thank you.
By the way, we want to thank our friends at Mega Pros. I think I'm supposed to say this line to make it official. They make it fun to get stuff done. Thanks, Mega, for sponsoring our Mega Monday Morning Quiz. We'll do that at this time Monday mornings, always with the Chicago theme. We've done 6 of them so far. In fact, the last time we did one, we had so much fun with it, we posted it online. Producer Aleph, let's go ahead and post today's Mega Monday Morning Christmas Quiz.
I don't think you're making it easy. Either.
Really? I thought today's was way too simple.
Well, Grandma got run over by reindeer. Maybe that was a little too easy. But.
I was going to say White Christmas, and then I thought, no, people won't know the answer to this one. But they knew the answer to that one, right? Yeah. Anyway, we'll post it online. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. Speaking of Christmas time, so we're now past Thanksgiving, and it's, I'll tell you what, you got to get your shopping done. It's Cyber Monday. It's also the time, though, that the need... from the Salvation Army standpoint, to gather in the funds is most imperative. The need is there all year long, but to get in the money, they got to do that between right now and the first of the year, or literally things don't get done. Meals won't get served. Coats won't be worn. You get the idea? Shelter will not be given. They have real expenses, the Salvation Army does. And however economical they are, they raise most... what percentage of the money would you say the Salvation Army raises between now and the end of the year? I'll bet, like, how much?
70%.
So, online, WGNradio.com, on the John Williams page. Go to WGNradio.com. See where it says shows? You'll find my show. Click on the John Williams page. And there's my virtual kettle. My goal this year, $35,000 for the Salvation Army. Woo, woo, woo! Of which I have about 600. So now is the time to make that donation, if you can. The voice you just heard belongs to Elise Dobney. She's a program manager for a program that they have at the Salvation Army that I did not know for all my work with them over the years. I did not know exists. It's the Stop It Initiative Against Human Trafficking. Is that right?
It is.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So how did you come into that line of work?
So I've been with the Stop It program for over 11 years now. I worked for a different Salvation Army program that was running out of funding, and they just happened to have a need for a bilingual worker when I was looking for a job.
You speak Spanish?
I do.
Is that the language that's most helpful when we're talking about trafficking in Chicago?
After English, yes.
Yeah, sure. And what does trafficking mean?
So when we're talking about trafficking in the U.S., we're talking about two different forms, sex and labor trafficking. So basically when someone is forced, tricked, or threatened, either into a labor situation or a commercial sex situation.
Doesn't mean you're crossing borders. This is not the immigrating of people.
Correct. It can involve crossing of borders, but we serve a lot of individuals who were born and raised in Illinois, born and raised in Chicago, who are experiencing trafficking here in Chicago.
So they're not going anywhere. They're staying in Chicago, but somebody else was controlling their destiny. They're using them as a commodity for profit.
Exactly.
And that's a big deal in Chicago relative to other cities, or can you just give me a handle on it?
Yeah, it's a really big deal, not just in the city limits of Chicago, but really across the northern side of Illinois. And we see a lot of human trafficking, both sex and labor trafficking.
Give me an example. What are we talking about here? What would be a scenario in which you would get involved?
Yeah, so we work with a lot of individuals right now who did come to the U.S. from other countries but came over on temporary work visas. And once they arrived to work as a nanny, their rights were kind of exploited and taken away, and they were threatened with deportation if they didn't do exactly as the family desired, not paid a fair livable wage, not allowed to go, and told that if they would leave, maybe their family members would be injured. And so they felt like they had no option but to continue working in that nanny situation.
As a nanny?
Mm-hmm.
So that's it. I did not expect that. I mean, it would seem to me like somebody with the resources or the need would not be so monstrous as to put these people in some sort of indentured servitude like you're describing. But that happens, huh?
It does happen.
Huh. But these are not people who are being sexually exploited, but rather just as in-home labor.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of misinformation around trafficking. We do have a significant problem with sex trafficking, but we also have a huge problem with labor trafficking, and it just goes largely unaddressed and unacknowledged in our communities. Huh.
What's another scenario that you guys might get involved in?
Yeah, so another scenario might be someone who was maybe 15, had lots of vulnerabilities in their life, had lots of moments when someone could approach and build relationship. And so someone approaches and they start to build relationship, becomes a romantic relationship. And eventually that romantic relationship might turn into a, you know, I love you, I need a really big favor because I'm having trouble making rent this month. And that young person who's 15 has to go out and trade sex for money in order to make a payment towards rent. And that night, that one time favor can turn into a nightly exploitation.
How do these people find you then? So they say, when do they know they can reach out? When do they reach out?
Yeah, so I think an important part of our program is this recognition that we need to really restore choice in people's life. And that starts at the beginning of what it looks like to engage and whether they're ready to engage in supportive services at all. And when they're ready to leave, knowing that there's a resource available. So we do a lot of trainings with community providers who are already actively engaging with folks who are experiencing trafficking so that they know about our resource and can offer support if someone's ready. And then we build relationship with people, with a lot of young people, just so that we can talk about healthy relationships, talk about what exploitation is. Because the reality is most folks who are experiencing trafficking would never identify if you said, I work with survivors of human trafficking. When we start talking about the specifics of the situation, people not being paid what they're owed, people being threatened, people being tricked into the situation, that's when it starts to resonate.
They go, folks, wait a minute, that's me or
exactly.
Somebody I know. And maybe they don't even think that the person's breaking the law, they're just not very nice, right?
Exactly.
And in fact, is that always the case? I mean, maybe I'm asking you as a nanny to work longer hours than you want, and I'm not very nice to you, but am I breaking the law by virtue of this?
So human trafficking is both a federal law and a state law in all of our states across the country. So by committing human trafficking, either labor or sex trafficking, you are breaking the law.
I guess I knew that, but I'm wondering what mm-hmm. constitutes that, because maybe they're not paying me yeah. a lot, but when did they cross the line?
So I think there's a lot of situations that are labor exploitation, also really big deals that don't rise to the level of trafficking. When we're talking about trafficking, you're talking about someone feeling stuck, like they can't get out of the situation. And it might feel like I really want to leave and I can't get out because I signed a contract or because my family will be hurt. It could also be a more psychological control of I have nowhere to go and I owe this person a lot because they've really stepped out and committed to me.
Do you contact police or attorneys? Do these people get criminal charges, the people that are exploiting them?
So that is our goal. So we actually co-facilitate the Cook County Human Trafficking Task Force along with the Cook County State's Attorney's Office and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of Illinois. And the purpose of that task force is to comprehensively address trafficking, both from victim services as well as through the criminal justice system.
Do you have a safe house then? How do you help these people?
Yeah, so we work to identify housing options both locally in Illinois as well as across the country. I'm really working to identify housing that people are willing to go to. So some folks are willing to go to shelters. Some people are not and have connections in the community where they're willing to stay that feels safer than...
Stay with a family member, stay with a friend,
exactly.
Stay with somebody you know of that will help you.
Exactly.
But then you're kind of guiding them in this process.
Yeah, and then we act as intensive case managers, finding all of the community resources that folks are interested in. So
how do you just not get a baseball bat and go to the house of the people that are doing this to these people and whack them on the head a couple of times? I mean, I would be... This is so bizarre.
It is, and it is pretty infuriating, but our focus really is on meeting people where they are and serving the survivors and really focusing on what they want to achieve in their life.
So you don't want people to donate baseball bats, in other words?
Not so much.
Yeah, shame on me. So, but I guess monies to go to the Salvation Army fund your program as well.
Correct.
I'm just getting my head around all of this. Do people have the reaction I am having now sometimes?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So here's my webpage. So when I make a donation to the Salvation Army, can I dedicate it to a specific program? Or no, you have your funding. As long as we donate it to the Army, you'll get your funding.
If you donate it to the Army, we do get our funding. You can also make a specific donation to a program.
You can. Okay. Well, let's start here. Go to WGNRadio.com on the John Williams page. WGNRadio.com, John Williams page. There I am ringing a bell and last year at the intersection of Wacker and Michigan Avenue. It was about 100 degrees below zero that day. We have paint expressions on our faces. Click there and you can make a donation with your credit card and know. You know, it's funny because you say, I'm all for feeding the people that need it under the viaducts and giving them coats and drug and alcohol rehabilitation and the rehabilitation of people that are coming out of jail and we don't want them to commit crimes again. How do we help them? The sort of tentacles that a donation to the Salvation Army has is really amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very wide reach.
Well, thank you for doing the work you do. I will say to you what I've said to so many of your colleagues. I don't know that I could do the work you do. I don't know that I have the disposition for it. It has not been my career, but I'm glad somebody else is doing it. And if all you need is a check from me or a credit card number, I can make that donation. The John Williams page at WGNRadio.com. Elise Dobney, keep up the good work. Let us know if we can do something else for you down the road.
Thank you so much.
Happy holidays. 11:59 WGN Radio. I'm looking at some of the market indices. I guess, John, you are too over in Studio D, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, this is not going to be your regular news shift. We're sort of switching things around. So let me just say good morning. It's 11:59 on WGN. I'm John Williams. My producer is a nice lady named Elif Garris. She's who you talk to or maybe exchange notes with if you want to be on or interact with the show. And my news shift is 9 a.m. to noon. Then she does the noontime business lunch that Steve Bertrand has hosted. You're still hearing Steve do the news on our station and so happily on my show. But now she is doing the Wintrust Business Hour, the business lunch. But you are filling in for
yes.
G today,
correct? Yeah, she's gone this week, so I'm kind of the midwife or something here, kind of tending things over until she comes back next week, and I'll be tending the shop for now.
Yeah, well, you always do a good job at that.
Appreciate
so what's
that.
Coming up on your show
so
today?
So diamonds grown in a lab, Oprah's favorite cocktail maker, and sweatpants you can wear to work, all local items you can buy from local entrepreneurs.
How about that? Okay,
yeah.
Have a good show, my friend.
Thank you.
We'll be listening, and you hit the buttons over there. Here we go.